Yet we have these lies that are floating within the church that somehow we can receive a great blessing from God, yet remain in our sin. That is a mockery of God's mercy. Hey, it's good to see you. Did you hear about the woman who was forgiven a death sentence and how her life changed after her encounter with Jesus Christ? It's an incredible story. I'll share it with you in the following clip, recorded at a parish mission. And after the clip, I have some additional thoughts I'd like to share with you.
I could really relate to the story of that woman caught in the very act of adultery. Do you remember that story? Let's visit it. Scriptures tell us that she's caught in the very act. What does that mean? Well, she's in the bedroom with the guy and people barge in. Now, I don't know what happened to him. He took off. They grab her and they drag her through the streets. And as they're dragging her through the streets, they're picking up stones. Why? Because she deserves to be stoned according to the law. What is amazing about this is she would have known this before she went into the bedroom with the guy. So this tells me this woman is incredibly broken. She's thirsting for love and she's settling for lust. Just to escape the world to find a brief moment of comfort in another man's arms. And she's willing to risk it all for this escape. Can anyone relate? And her worst nightmare happens. She gets caught. She's dragged through the streets. The men are picking up the stones. They throw her down in what she thinks is a mob. They have the stones in the air and she doesn't realize who she's before. Jesus, the author of life. And they tell Jesus, this woman is caught in the very act. Talk about a shaming. The law says we should stone her to death. What do you say, Jesus? Jesus, so interesting what he does. He's the most written about person of history. More songs have been written about Jesus than anyone else. More books have been written about Jesus than anyone else. More poems about Jesus than anyone else in history. So the most written about person in history has never written a single thing to our knowledge in Scripture, except once. And he chooses as his manuscript, dirt. And he bends down and he starts writing in dirt. Kind of confusing. And then he straightens up and he says, well, whoever hears without sin, cast the first stone. And Jesus bends down again and starts writing in dirt. But this time, in my mind's eye, I imagine that he wrote an essay. And he starts writing and writing and writing. And he goes through the crowd and starts writing. And all of a sudden, people start walking away. And he keeps writing and writing and around these men who's got the stones. And all of a sudden, you hear the stones drop. And people are walking away. And he writes and he writes. And all of a sudden, the crowd starts disappearing. And there's one man, in my mind, he has his stone raised, ready to hit the woman. And he writes around him, writes around him, writes around him. Finally, he looks down. He sees something. He looks up and he walks away. What did Jesus write that would cause the people to see and then walk? Well, this is just a guess. Some speculate that when Jesus wrote in dirt, he wrote the sins of the people holding the stones. They saw their guilt and they walked away. And if that is true, isn't it nice that God writes our sin in dirt instead of stone? Because with one breath, it's gone. And this woman, now standing just before the person through whom she has been created. And I imagine Jesus lifting up her chin and wiping the tears out of her eyes. And their gaze meets. And he says, is no one here to condemn you? She's like, no one, Lord. Neither I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Where do you think she went? I ask myself this. Where did she go after this? Was her life different? Or did she run right back into the bedroom looking for the guy? I think that's inconceivable, because when your heart encounters genuine love, it sets you free from the imitation. And so many of us struggle with settling for the imitation. But God in His mercy and kindness wants to set us free.
So can you relate with a woman who was forgiven a death sentence? And some might be thinking, well, I've never been threatened to be stoned to death. Well, perhaps not. But which one of us has not fallen at least one time in our life into mortal sin? Because mortal sin cuts us off from the life of God. And to die in the state of mortal sin means to lose God for all eternity. That is the ultimate death sentence. And that is the sentence that Jesus Christ forgives in the sacrament of reconciliation. What God's action does in our life, it always moves us away from sin. Jesus never confirms us in our sin, because sin destroys us. And the other thing is, it's an offense to God. So in all God's actions, He moves us away from sin. Consider what He says to the woman, "Go and sin no more." Now, I want you to imagine the scene in Scripture where everyone is gone. It's just Jesus and the woman. And around the corner comes the man she committed adultery with, and then stands with her before Jesus and holds her hand in a romantic way. Wouldn't that be an irregular situation? How would Jesus respond to the man? Perhaps something like this. "Go home to your wife. You're committing adultery." And to the woman, again, "Go and sin no more." Jesus never confirms people in sin. Yet we have these lies that are floating within the church that somehow we can receive a great blessing from God, yet remain in our sin. That is a mockery of God's mercy, as it would be a mockery of God's mercy for the man who was committing adultery with the woman to stand before Jesus and say, "Hey, can we get a blessing?" You see, God knows that sin destroys us. It's also a great offense to Him. His mercy is available to us, but only to those who have a contrite heart. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to St. Faustina. "My mercy is greater than your sin and those of the entire world. Who can measure the extent of my goodness? For you, I descended from heaven to earth. For you, I allowed myself to be nailed to the cross. For you, I let my sacred heart be pierced with a lance, thus opening wide the source of my mercy for you. Come then with trust to draw graces from this fountain. I never reject a contrite heart." So beautiful words from Jesus, that He does not reject anyone who has contrition, who has a contrite heart. So what should we do? Well, let's pray for contrition, that we would be sorry for our sin. Thanks for watching. Appreciate your time. Share with me below what stood out to you and why. And also, I want to say thank you to our monthly supporters. Without you, the work that we do online is impossible. You allow us to show up consistently to be able to do these videos, to give time to this. And so with great gratitude to our monthly supporters, I want to say thank you.